Would you hear these words from Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we're made. He remembers that we are dust. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As you're finding your seat, we are going to be, once again, all over the book of Proverbs this morning. So you can turn to Proverbs and get ready to turn pages quickly. Or I gave you a cheat sheet. For the first time in 3 years, you get a cheat sheet. And it might be the last time, so enjoy it while you've got it. But pull that out, and you can follow along with that just as well. Would you pray with me once again? And now, Father God, as we do turn to your word together, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place might be pleasing to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. And so in these moments, with the help of your Spirit, as we see all these verses together, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear? So you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue on in our Proverbs series this morning, today's message is specifically wisdom in marriage. Before we jump in, let's just go on ahead and address the elephant in the room, because I know you're thinking it. Wait, isn't Pastor single? Hasn't she always been single? What is she supposed to know about marriage? Valid questions. One word that I might offer that might let you give me a chance, maybe. Jeremiah, Paul, Jesus, never married, and you've received their wisdom without question. And Solomon, the guy we're actually kind of reading from, he had like 1,000 wives, and you receive his wisdom. And I'm not saying that I'm on par with these guys, especially not Jesus, far from it. But what I am saying is that it does appear God has used unlikely people to share words of truth all along. So maybe God will keep it up and speak through this 34-year-old single pastor on the topic of marriage too. I get that it's awkward. That's why it's been 3 years, and I've never once preached about marriage. Other churches do it once a month. Here we are together. And yet, while never having been married, I can say this, I have been around a lot of married people. Some really happy and some really miserable. I've walked with countless friends through divorces. My own family has been affected by affairs. And I got to eat chocolate cake with my grandparents as they celebrated their 71st wedding anniversary. I've witnessed the tears and the celebrations of married life. I've observed the success stories, and I've taken notes of the failures. And I've meditated on Scripture, and I've seen that there still are some ancient words that ring true today. Timeless principles that still in 2018 make a house a home, make a marriage a true covenant. life together, not the burden, but the gift that God intended it to be. At the same time, I know that about half of us in this room this morning are saying, great, I'm not married. I should have sat this one out. Single people, divorcees, widows, widowers, I get it. Marriage sermons can feel isolating, and they can strike up feelings of grief when that's not your experience or when it hasn't been a good experience for you. And even still, I'm going to ask you this morning to consider leaning in just for a while. Why, you ask? Well, for one, because you're part of a church family. And if you're getting to know your church family, I bet you're finding out that there are marriages among us that struggle. And you are the brother or sister in Christ to that couple. How about gleaning some wisdom to share? You know, when we're in family together, not every sermon is just for me to soak up like a sponge. Sometimes God gives us words to pour out and care for one another. So maybe God has you here today to receive words that He already is going to want you to share with your friends, with your family, your kids, your grandkids. Maybe God's preparing your heart for what's to come. Either way, this word is for you, my married friends, and for me, your single pastor, for us. Words that grow a marriage. I pulled out 6 from Proverbs. My original list had 9, but I thought you would never stick with me that long. So I condensed it down to 6. If you want the extra 3, you can get bonus time later. And even these 6, they just seem so important. And so I thought there's no way they're going to remember this. So for the first time, I got you your little cheat sheet, your little fill in the blank. Somebody's like, oh, I love this. Can we have it every week? Probably not, because I don't love it. But I'm glad that you do. So fill out your little sheet and then take it home and put it to practice. Hang it up on the mirror. Put it somewhere where you and your spouse will see together. Don't just put it in his stuff. And don't just put it in her stuff. That's not how it works. Go through it together. You ready? Words that grow a godly marriage. Number 1, if you've already gotten lost. Number 1, I will honor you. Proverbs 12:4, a good wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Most of the Proverbs are written from a father to his son. And so you hear a lot of language of, here's what your wife should be like, but they all go both ways. A good wife, a good husband, is as a crown to their spouse. And when a person is crowned, that thing on their heads, it sets them apart as one to behold, as someone with great value and worth. A godly spouse then goes out of his way to honor his wife, to show others that she is someone to behold. A godly spouse lets her husband know that he never has to worry about his reputation when she's out and about, just talking to the girls or just posting on Facebook. If it's about him, it will be words that build him up and that reveal his gifts to the world. It will be words that honor and respect, words that protect the other's reputation, that guard their dignity, that save their pride. I mentioned my grandparents who were married 71 years, and these two people, they adored one another. But neither one of them was perfect. My grandma, she was passive-aggressive, and she was stubborn as all get out. And my grandpa, he was the Southern Baptist preacher, and so he had his own issues with pride and with control. But this I can honestly say. The 30 years of my life that I knew them, the countless hours, the summers that I got to spend with them, I cannot remember a single time that either of them talked to me poorly about the other. There were times that I knew he was frustrated, And there were times that I could see in her face that she was hurt. And yet, when speaking of the other, they never said a thing that brought the other one down. They just didn't say anything at all when they were upset. And if they did speak, they were going to speak words that honored them. In the 30 years I knew them, never did I hear from Grandma or Grandpa to myself or overhearing their chats to others, "You know, I just need to vent for a minute." Never heard it. Maybe they did it elsewhere. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they just committed early in their marriage to being a crown for one another. Maybe they just chose to honor and respect. How do you speak about your spouse when they're not around? It matters. Both partners are honored in a godly marriage. Before moving on to number two, I think it's important to say this. Some of you in this room are living in abusive relationships, be it physical or emotional, doesn't matter. And you've promised to honor and respect that spouse, but let me tell you that respect is something that is earned, and it's not just thrown out. And if you're being hurt, hear this, please. God has created you to know His freedom and His love and His goodness. God did not create you to live in fear, and God did not create you to be controlled. If you're being hurt, it isn't godly to just be quiet about your spouse's darkness in the name of honoring them. They need help, and you need help too. And so those in abusive situations will tend to hear these points today and think that they just need to work harder and stick it out. Hear me. This is the part of the sermon that's for you. The other points for all the other couples in here. But for you, the word from God today is you are worthy of a relationship where you will be honored and protected. Please get help. Talk to me. Talk to someone. God is not asking you to just try harder to make your spouse be nicer. He wants you to know that He loves you and desires good for you. With that said, more words that grow a godly marriage. Number two, I will laugh with you. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the poor are hard, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. The very best marriages that I've observed, those marriages where both spouses are filled up from the inside out, those marriages that just resonate cheerfulness, are always shared between two people who know how to just let loose and laugh together. Now, the spouses, they don't laugh at each other so much, but with each other. Rather than berate each other, they laugh together over silly mistakes. Rather than roll their eyes, they laugh together about one another's quirks. When they're reminiscing, they bring up the memories from the past that had them rolling on the floor and don't over and over again go and play that record of pain. They know when it's time to go to a good movie or go ride a roller coaster just to laugh together. They know when to stop trying to balance the checkbook and when to close that email from the kid's school teacher and when to turn off the record that replays how stressful work was again today and just laugh. You know what makes you and your spouse laugh together the most. You know the stories, you know those things that you love to share together. And life is too short not to revisit those places often. We need to quit walking around this earth like we're dying, because we're not. You're alive in the love of a generous, good God. So lose the scowl and laugh. Your house will be as a continual feast, and you won't want to stay away. Back to my grandparents. As you can tell, I love them to death. And my grandma was a horrible, horrible snorer. Horrible. Outdid any man I've ever heard. And my grandpa would tell her over and over, Betty, you snore. No, I don't snore. You're crazy. And he said, you snore, you snore, you snore. It was becoming a point of contention. So one night, he recorded her on a little tape recorder while she was snoring. The next day, he said, Betty, the weirdest thing happened last night. I was asleep, and I heard this noise, and I recorded it. Listen. And she said, well, my goodness, it sounds like neighbor Bob's bull got out and was in our front yard. And he said, Betty, that's not the bull. That was you snoring. And they kept this little tape for the next 30 years. And they would replay it for the family, for the kids, for the grandkids, over and over, and just laugh at how much Betty's snore sounded like Bob's bull. They made this thing that was a quirk into a place of laughter. Be annoyed or choose to laugh. One will grow your marriage. Words that grow a godly marriage. Number three, we need to talk. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a contentious wife are alike. Proverbs 30:21-23, under three things the earth trembles, under four it cannot bear up. A slave when he becomes king, a fool when glutted with food, an unloved woman when she gets a husband, and a maid when she succeeds her mistress. A godly marriage practices godly communication. And according to these two proverbs, healthy communication in marriage is not nagging and it's not avoiding. Ever had a faucet with a continual drip? When everything's turned off at night, it's that one thing that you can't not hear. Drip, drip. It'll make you crazy. As will the spouse who brings up the same thing over and over again. Healthy communication, it's not holding something over your spouse's head until they just get up and do it already. Did you make that call? Did you pay that bill? Are the dishes in the sink? Another proverb says that it is better for a man to live on the corner of his roof than in the house with a nagging wife. And I love that picture. Wives, listen up. If there's something that's getting under your skin, something that you just can't let go, rather than try to sneak it into any passing conversation, you could also try this. Just simply say, honey, we need to talk. Here's what's been bothering me. Here's what I've been waiting for and why. And when it's not getting done, here's why I feel concerned and stressed. And now that I've let you know, I'm gonna let it go and be at peace with you doing whatever you do, whenever you do it, or don't. The continual drip drives the world insane. But husbands, there's another side to this. The other proverb says that one of the things that makes the earth tremble is an unloved woman in marriage. Women need to communicate. They need that emotional connection that comes through you sharing your heart with her. In a godly marriage, you are not allowed to just shut down and shut up. You're just not. You can't get stone cold and then become frustrated when she keeps bringing up the same needs over and over again. Give her something. Give her a piece of yourself, some insight into why you're holding out, why you're afraid to make that step, why you're pushing back. Let one another in. Communicate often and well. Sit with each other every single day with the TV and the phones turned off. Look each other in the eyes and listen. Make it a common practice in your home to say, we need to talk. And then really talk. Did you know that a breakdown in communication is the most common reason for divorce? Learn to talk, not at each other, with one another. Don't nag, don't avoid, really talk, and really listen. Words for a godly marriage, number four. It's four, right? I don't have the cheat sheet. I will seek God with you. Proverbs 19:21, the human mind may devise many plans, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will be established. You see, in marriage, you're constantly looking ahead together, making plans. Who's going to work? Who's going to stay at home? How will we spend our money? What kind of home do we want to live in? Where will we spend Christmas this year? What about summer vacation? What's retirement going to look like? Do we travel? Do we stay close? Do we spend? Do we save? Do we let our adult kids move back home? Do we push them out into the world? And all of these things, a godly marriage isn't two people doing what they want and then asking God to come alongside and bless it. But instead, it's two people seeking the heart of God together, committed to His way becoming their way. Wives, don't expect your husbands to make all the big decisions in your marriage. Seek God's will with Him. Make them together. It will grow you as one. And men, don't leave it to your wife to bring God into your home. Don't let her be the one dragging the kids to church or volunteering to teach Sunday school or to lead the bedtime prayers. Seek God's will for your family with her. Let your children hear you singing praises to Jesus at church. Let them see you with your Bible open at home. Let them observe you pouring out your heart to God in prayer. Pray together as a couple. Read scripture side by side. Share with your spouse what it is that God's showing you these days. Journey with God, with them. It's essential. Hear this, great wisdom. You can't have a godly marriage without God right in the middle of it. You're thinking, and I give up my morning to hear that. Duh. You can't have a godly marriage without God right in the center of it. Well, if it's such common sense and we know it, are we doing it? Next Sunday, Stan and Diana Olson will step into the water for baptism together as a couple. Both of them are going to say together, Jesus is Lord of my life, and He is Lord of our family. I'm seeking Him alone, and we are seeking Him together. Both of them dedicating their marriage, their roles as parents, their lives to Jesus, and they're starting a journey together of God's heart guiding their own. That's the picture of a godly marriage. Spouses saying to each other, I will seek God with you. What else? Number five, I forgive you. Proverbs 26:20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there's no whisperer, quarreling ceases. You know what I hear as common as any struggle in marriage counseling? Some offense from the past that one of the spouses just won't let go. They act like they're over it, and then anytime a fight breaks out, they bring it up again. And you know, there comes a time in any healthy relationship that we must offer forgiveness and mean it. To forgive someone is to tell them that even though that past injury hurt, it isn't going to keep our relationship from becoming what God dreams for it to be anymore. Each time we tell the other that we forgive them, and then we bring it up and make them live in that shame over and over again, we're throwing wood into the fire, and we're keeping it burning for another round. Where there is no wood, a refusal to dig into the past and pull up old stuff, the fire goes out. A chance for moving forward, for reconciliation, actually happens. If they cheated on you 10 years ago, I'm so sorry. And if you still bring it up every time they don't return a phone call, either get help to move past the hurt, or get out. But quit poking the fire and wondering why you aren't feeling any more peace than you were 10 years back. If they missed a bill payment months ago and you had to pay a late fee, Don't hold it over their head every time the bill comes in. Forgive them. Give them a chance to provide without the shame. Stop poking the fire and wondering why he seems so tense all the time. I forgive you. We'll let old fires die so we can walk into the future without this fear of being burned. I forgive you. Words that must be spoken in a godly marriage. Finally then, last point. I will be home for dinner. Proverbs 5:18 through 20. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, by another woman? Our culture tells us to rejoice in what is new and what's exciting. And we get bored with the same old person, the same old routines, and we go out and we look for something new. Proverbs says, rejoice in the spouse of your youth. Celebrate not who's new and exciting, but who is steadfast and faithful. Work at being just as taken by your spouse as you were in those first days. Woo her. Delight in him. And when you're not exactly feeling wooed or like delighting, show up for dinner anyway. Don't give your spouse any reason to question why you're late again. Don't make her wonder where your heart is. Don't make him doubt if he's enough. Every night, let them know, I'll be home for dinner, and by all means, be home for dinner. It's about trust. It's about priority. It's about refusing to let things go stale. It's about never opening the door for another to sneak in and take advantage of your vulnerable heart. It's about staying present and committed. It's about being faithful in a world that says, do what you want, when you want, how you want. It's about following a Jesus who shows up for us and ask us to show up for one another. I will be home for dinner. Words for a godly marriage. The first 17 years that my dad was married to my stepmom were fun. They liked the same things. They were social, spent most of their weekends with friends. They laughed a lot. They traveled, loved raising their grandkids together. And then 7 years ago, my stepmom had a massive stroke. She was only 50, and their life together has been completely different ever since. Overnight, my dad, this big probation officer, became a caretaker. He drives her to multiple doctor's appointments every single week. He helps her to the bathroom every single time she has to go. He bathes her every morning. He takes care of her two cats that he can't stand, but she loves them. His back hurts all the time. He needs surgery, but he can't get it because he can't afford to be off of his feet for recovery time because she needs him. They never travel anymore. His dreams of retired life aren't happening. The savings account that they worked their tails off for is slowly going away to doctor's bills. Married life for them is hard. And yet, my dad gets up every morning and he tells my stepmom in every possible way, I will be home for dinner. I'm not going anywhere. Neither of us signed up for this. It's hard, it's grueling, but I'm not leaving you. When everything in our life has fallen apart, I am here. Steady and faithful and true. And as he just keeps showing up through the struggle and through the pain, my dad looks a whole lot like Jesus to my stepmom and to all of us who are watching and to this daughter who thinks the world of him. I will be home for dinner. Delight in the one God gave you in your youth. No matter what comes, choose faithfulness. Years down the road, you won't regret it. Got your list? Did Did you get them all filled out? Here's the next step. Try a few this week. And then try some more the next week. Because you see, a godly marriage doesn't happen by accident, but by practice. Not married? Who in your life can you encourage with these words this week? I bet you there's someone in your family that could sure use them. I bet you there's a neighbor. I bet you there's someone on your pew. Could you call them? And could you share? Lots of people not here this morning. Don't let them miss the word, my friends. A healthy marriage reflects the heart of God on this earth. How can we all help facilitate more of those so more of our God can show? I don't know about you, but I desire for more of God to show in your homes and in mine. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I lift up all of the couples in this room this morning, and all those who are a part of us who aren't here this morning. God, I pray that you would be the center of their life together. God, I pray that today you would renew in their hearts a delight in the other. I pray where words of forgiveness are needed, that they would be offered generously because you have offered forgiveness generously to us. God, I pray that they would this week talk to each other, listen to each other. Lord, I pray that they would seek your face together. God, may the marriages in Belfair Community Church be a picture to our community of what it looks like when God's people love him and commit to one another. We believe that you can do that. God, I know that there is so much brokenness in this place. Would you be the healer of all? Lord, for those this morning who are single, for those who are lonely, for those who grieve a marriage that is no longer, would you be near in those tender places? Would your presence be overwhelming? Your goodness, your life. We all need you in singleness and in marriage to know your love and to share it freely. We need you. So would you help us? And Father God, as we spend these moments in just silent reflection, would you continue to speak to each of our hearts, showing us how we might walk in your will this week? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.